The White House wants to try another mortgage relief plan, but the U.S. House has other plans.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Republican-led House Financial Services Committee will likely vote next week to eliminate White House programs aimed at helping struggling homeowners. That announcement comes just as the Wall Street Journal today reports the Obama administration is trying another effort to alleviate the mortgage mess. It's a settlement the White House proposes, asking banks to trim $20 billion total from the mortgages of some homeowners who owe more than the home is worth. And in exchange, the government would then settle with big banks over botched-up foreclosures. Nick Timiraos is one of the reporters on today's Journal story. He's with us now from New York. Good morning.
Morning.
So how is this plan going to work?
Well, it's still very much in flux, and it depends on getting a bunch of different regulators and state attorneys general and federal agencies to agree on a settlement, the broad outlines of which will have banks write down loan principal for borrowers who owe more than their homes are worth. And this is as part of a settlement for a lot of the mortgage miscues that banks have had over the past 6 months when it comes to collecting payments and properly foreclosing on folks.
When you say write down, you mean reducing the principal on the loan, right?
Exactly. So a number of economists are saying, look, you need to reduce the amount of money they owe when you modify their mortgage so that they're less likely to fall into foreclosure if they run into problems paying their loans.
If we're talking about reducing how much some mortgage holders will owe, what parties are going to pay into that fund?
Mortgage servicers have dropped the ball at many stages in the process, and therefore these servicers, mostly banks, will have to pay for write-downs. And this is different from in the past where the investor that owns the loan would have to reduce the principal and take the hit.
What happens if the White House can't get everyone on board with this plan?
The idea here is that if you have a lot of different agencies doing their own thing, they each come up with their own code of conduct for servicers, they each have their own settlement, it's going to prolong this process, it's going to create more uncertainty for the banks and for the housing market. So the administration's interest here is to get everybody to agree on a number that's large enough to satisfy those agencies and the state attorneys general, and that it's not too large to turn off some of the bank regulators that are worried about having something that's overly or disproportionately large. There's no silver bullet for the housing market. This could help on the margins, but the idea here is that what we've been doing has not worked.
Nick Timiraos, reporter for The Wall Street Journal, joining us from New York. Nick, thanks.
All right, thanks so much.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, markets are down just a little bit right now. The S&P off about a third of a percent. The NASDAQ flat. The Dow down 65 points at 12,039. New home sales fell 12.5% in December. The number of people seeking first-time jobless benefits dropped by 22,000 last week. GM said it made $500 million in profit in the fourth quarter. Toyota's recalling more than 2 million cars here in the United States to look at gas pedals that could get stuck under the floor mat. Sears today said sales at their U.S. stores open at least a year. Well, they were down more than a percent. The retailer, though, just hired a new CEO after a search that took them 3 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Today, oil topped $103 a barrel in trading, and gas is much higher, too. You probably have noticed that. In a moment, we'll drill deeper into oil prices, but first, the latest on the demonstrations against governments in northern Africa and the Middle East. In Libya, there are reports hundreds of protesters have been killed in the latest violence, and hundreds injured as well. People are fleeing the country, and as refugees flow out, relief supplies flow in, including from neighboring Egypt. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is in Cairo.
Egyptians are watching what's going on in Libya obsessively, and not just because 1.5 million of their countrymen work there in oil and construction. Egyptians see their revolution spreading east and west, and they're sending more than just moral support. On a busy Cairo street corner, Egyptian architect Mohamed Adel is telling dozens of young volunteers how many loads of food and medicine to pile into waiting trucks. They've raised money to pay for the supplies.
The first day, we collected like 50 Egyptian pounds. The second day, it was 160,000 Egyptian pounds.
That's more than $30,000 raised in this one Libyan relief effort. And how did it start?
We decided to help them, and we made a page on the event on the Facebook to help gather donations.
Trucks left from five locations around Cairo last night for the 10-hour road trip to the Libyan border. Another convoy will be loaded today. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And all of that violence in the region has sent oil prices to levels not seen in more than 2 years. That $103 we told you about earlier is the price of oil from West Texas. In fact, a barrel from the Brent oil field in the North Sea has been over $103 for weeks. Today, Brent crude costs $119 a barrel, and oil from Saudi Arabia and Libya have different price tags as well. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
West Texas and North Sea oil are similar, both high quality, both need less refining than other oils. But North Sea, or Brent crude, is becoming the main oil market indicator. The reason? Geography. West Texas is delivered in one landlocked location, the small city of Cushing in Oklahoma, while Brent can flow more easily from the North Sea to the outside world. Nick McGregor is an oil analyst with Redmayne Bentley.
From Cushing, Oklahoma, there's a limited number of pipelines running out so that you can then move your oil to where you need. Brent being delivered in Western Europe, it's much easier to get the stuff onto a ship and move it to the market where you're intending to supply.
The fastest growing markets for oil are in the emerging economies. For them, a delivery point in the middle of the US is not always convenient. The decline of West Texas as a benchmark and the rise of Brent is another sign of the shift in economic growth away from the United States. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Finally, cotton is another commodity that's up. The rise, making for a more expensive hotel bill to make up for the increased costs of bed sheets. I say two words: polyester linens. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Don't look now, but China has just passed the United States as the top international consumer of Bordeaux wine.
As they become richer, they demand greater energy, greater amount of commodities, and wine as well.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Fine wine and crude oil have more in common than you might think. That story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.